And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What'd I win?
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Yo. Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday. Strange goings on in the South Bronx. The Astros are up 2-0. Altuve, the second hitter of the game, gone. Second inning, Reddick, tank job, oppo, gone. Yankees have not been able to push anything across. But the poor home plate umpire, I think his name is Nelson. Nelson! He took a couple of shots off fouls to the mask, and all of a sudden he was like, yeah, I gotta go now. So they moved one of the field umps, had to go in underneath, you know, the bowels of the stadium to, I guess, the umpire's locker room to put the home plate gear on. They're taking the left fielder, a left field ump, moving him to the infield. So there's one less ump. And this has got to be 20, 25 minutes since the Yankees took the field. There are only four complete, nobody out in the fifth. And the game's 2 hours old. And it's very odd. Following, we get the Wash Lincolns taking on the Cardinals, possibly the Nats going for a sweep and their first ever berth in the World Series. This team has not been this far since the 81 NLCS when they were the Montreal Expos. And Rick Monday of the Dodgers tanked one to dead center at Dodger Stadium off of starter 20-game winner. Well, 1 year, maybe 19 games, Steve Rogers. 1981, the strike year. That's an LLTA, long, long time ago. And now the problem for Severino, who took 36 pitches to get through the first inning, has now settled in a little bit. The hope was he could at least go five. Gerrit Cole, he's really good, hashtag analysis. Man, when he's gotten a couple of guys on, they haven't really gotten good cuts on him. Although, last inning with men on, there was a towering drive. It's just a semi-loud out. And that's where we stand. After discussing it with you, we spent a lot of time yesterday. Whoa. Talking about a nickname for the Oregon defense. I'm going to tell you, of all the nicknames we got, the suggestion that came in the most, I like. Too early. There hasn't really been a moment. At this point, beating Colorado, Stanford, and Cal, losing to Auburn and beating those two non-conference bunnies, it's not a stand-up moment yet. If they have a big moment and they, you know, beat Washington, beat Arizona State, and, you know, really cement their standing within the Northern Division, maybe then. So I got the sheet. I've still got the sheet with a bunch of suggestions. Jeez. And by the way, they were coming in. I woke up this morning, opened up the text line. It's like from 9:20 last night. And so of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 26, 27 suggestions. We'll shelve them. Because remember, something could happen which could provide the nickname. Let's face it, Kenny Wheaton is the pick. We know that. So we're going to put that one on the back burner and move it along to talk some foosball, the NFL last night. You know what we needed today? More whining about the officials. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's impossible.
I ain't happy, man. I ain't happy. I ain't about those BS penalties here. I ain't having that. You got me? I ain't having that.
Okay. Message received.
Sick of the penalties, man. Sick of the penalties. Get them out of here. No more officials. Everybody calls their own fouls.
I would say 1982. Jets-Dolphins, last game of the regular season. NBC tried a game with no announcers. I'm not
really?
Kidding. Yeah. Look it up. Jets-Dolphins, maybe 1982. Hey. And I think it ended up a tie, which is just so weird.
Of course.
And, you know, being somebody who watched every play of every game, I remember it, and it was weird. Now, no refs is a different thing. First of all, there's really one sport where you could self-police, and it's when you play pickup hoops.
Steve, you couldn't be more wrong. It was the Jets and the Dolphins in 1980. Okay, could you just, you know?
Sorry. I remember my own rule. I'm still wrong. Remember I said because I'm older now, I give myself a year leeway?
Right.
Nope. Yeah, I was wrong.
It's really embarrassing if you're going to drop something as specific as 1982 down with the Jets and Dolphins and be off by 2 years.
You know what?
Should you even be here anymore?
That they were still playing in Shea then. But anyway, as far as the game last night, the Lions kicked 5 field goals. That wasn't because of the refs. The refs didn't lose the game. The refs suck guava jelly. I'm not going to defend them. But just relax. And the uproar from Oregon fans over what's happening with Tennessee is officially amusing. And by the way, well done on Twitter to a couple of guys who are always willing to engage. I'm like, top of your head, no cheating. What stadium do the Titans play in? A lot of you got it. I got some sarcastic answers. Did not see that coming. And it's just, so aside from the Music City Miracle and the 2000 Super Bowl, prior to April 30th, 2015, draft day, how many of you are now so up in arms about the Tennessee Titans situation had even considered that team a franchise you would waste your attention on? Yeah, that carryover from college to the NFL, is it just with certain guys? I know you guys tortured us, oh my God, with Harrington. And again, the Lions. When Quackers' last stop changed ownership around 2000. So it's a Friday. It's late summer 2002. And my wife got home. I used to do my show until 5 o'clock back then. So drive home. We're going to go down, meet some of our friends, and watch a little baseball, BS around. And we walk in, and it's like packed. I mean, it's like a Friday in August. And, hey, what's up? Hey, Steve, how you doing? Kath, yeah. What the hell's going on? Lions exhibition game. They had dialed up on satellite, and people were there to watch Joey. Love the Ducks. Love the 2001 team. Lions exhibition football is what they should make spies they capture watch, especially back then.
Just Lions football in general.
As a rule, I will give you that one. That's a legitimate statement. So fortunately, by the time Marcus's NFL career started, there was NFL. The games were on. You didn't need special satellite, and you didn't need to ruin the lives of those around you to watch that garbage franchise. So, and anybody who now is so embedded, you're a war correspondent. You're behind enemy lines. You would give your life if only the Titans would get a decent running back.
They have a good running back.
Did you ever watch a Titans game, aside from a Super Bowl or a playoff, prior to the opener of 2015? My point is, just don't act like you're this diehard and you're losing your mind and, oh my God, the world has been turned on its ear. Just do me a favor. It's the frigging Titans. Go easy. Go really easy. And by the way, Nissan Stadium. 284. Well, I'm just saying, how much of a diehard, if you're out there and you think, well, I'm a, and you couldn't even name the stadium where they play. Yeah, you're not.
Now I'm trying to think how many stadiums I could name.
But if it's your favorite team, where's the, where the Ducks play?
It's
the Yankees play?
It's off of, is it MLK? And right. It's kind of close to
you're
kind of
answering my question. You're that much of a diehard, I'm guessing you know the arena and the stadium. So just stop. Just everybody stop.
So is that your baseline qualifier? Okay, you say you're a fan of this team. Where do they play? Okay, cool. You've passed level one. Now you, I'll be willing to listen to your complaint, but I don't think at this time I'm going to take it seriously until you get to at least level
three. Or the city, one or the other. How many people, and I got a couple of those.
The city's the team name.
No, it's Tennessee. That's a state.
It's
for once, you got your cities and states wrong.
It feels like Tennessee just is one city.
Well, the bottom line is the funniest texts and tweets I got were like, tell you the truth, I don't even know what city it's in. So the answer is, I'm not buying your hysteria over
Nashville.
The Titans. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you could have thought of Mariota and his offensive linemen at the Predators games when they made the finals a couple of years back.
True.
So,
good guy Marcus was the designated driver, and he didn't drink any beer.
And those guys, maybe I don't think there was any left those guys.
Taylor Lewan probably had a 30 rack by himself.
After
that
those
day.
Lunatics got a hold of him. So over a team you barely knew existed less than 5 years ago, make your comments. We know the front office is garbage, ownership is crap, but let's not lose our minds over the freaking Tennessee Titans just yet. Okay, thank you. I'm not even waiting for your response. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
But as I guess I'll take the voice of not necessarily the Titan fan, but the Duck fan that wants to see Marcus do well. If you're just, crazy Duck fan, doesn't really pay attention to the NFL, but you see Marcus is struggling a lot, doesn't have a lot of big names around him, he's supposed to have a halfway decent offensive line, doesn't have any wide receivers, and you just want to see Marcus do better, thus don't you kind of half care about the Titans to at least be like,
exactly.
try better?
Yes, I don't mind the analysis, but there are people on there like, as far as they're concerned, what's ever happened in the Mideast, the nukes, our healthcare, the economy, it's like, screw all that, we need to address the Titans first.
Give Marcus a wide receiver!
It's like, I'm not buying your hysteria. You're the morons that cried wolf. So just leave it be. Let it go. So, Steelers? Where should Mariota go? Is that the end of the career for Big Ben? Does he move to Carson and take over when Rivers bolts? What's your hope for Mariota? So you could then ruin another fan base and jump on that bandwagon like you cared about him your whole life.
The Falcons, because I would like to see one Falcons jerseys available in Eugene for me to buy, another Marcus jersey for me to have, and I'd like to see other Falcons fans, even if they're hopping on board just for Marcus.
Which they will be.
They absolutely would. It'd still be nice to be able to high-five a Falcons fan and said, boy, isn't it great Dan Quinn still running us into the ground? Because that's still going to be happening 2 years from now.
All right. 284. 8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So there was a pitching change while I was railing against fake Titans fans. So first and second, one out, Chad Green in to try and keep this thing close. This game, which, by the way, is going to end, and we're going to go right into our pregame on Saturday because it's taking so long. To the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go, and bring in Wally. Wally, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, is it okay to talk about football again?
Yeah.
Okay. You were railing on about the Colorado kicker missing that second kick and doinking it, and you were at the psychic moment?
Yes.
Did you know that would have set an all-time Colorado record for consecutive kicks?
Really?
Yeah. And I think the guy whose record he would have broken won the game for the Packers on Monday night.
Crosby? Mason Crosby?
I don't know. Did he play at Colorado?
I don't know. That doesn't sound familiar. I'll check on that.
Okay.
But you know, I got to be perfectly honest, especially just a team from the South. I'm not usually wired into where the kickers went to college.
Right, but that would have been his record.
He did go to Colorado. Wally, this is good stuff. You've started us off on a bang. I don't know if anybody could live up to you right now.
Have a great show.
Take it easy. How good information is that?
Also, Wally has the clearest phone line I've ever heard someone call on before.
Clearly, that guy has no relationship with Fred. That's the cleanest call since the invention of the cell phone. Gordon Gekko wishes he had that kind of reception with Bud Fox from his Hamptons home.
Like, I don't know if that's a landline or whatever, but if that's what every phone call sounds like with Wally, I would absolutely walk around with a big block of a landline phone that I had to plug in everywhere and with the big cord walking around. I would use that phone for everything. That sounded beautiful.
All right, so we've got James Stefanu. He's a junior, and prior to this year, so I don't know how many in a row was a lot, because I guess he had made 10 in a row, depending on going back to last year. So, although he did miss an extra point, so, and I'm also looking up the right guy. All right, I got the right guy. Mason Crosby, Derbingle. I guess we weren't aware of him because when he kicked at Colorado, they were still in the Big 12. He was a sixth rounder back in 2007, so he last played for the Booths in 06. By the way, that's a nice career. He's been the Packer everyday kicker since 2007, so he's pretty much take a year, right? Because Favre was their quarterback in 07 when they lost to the Giants, I think. Then he walked to Minnesota, and then Rodgers took over. So he got there for the first year. They lost in a championship game to the Giants, and then that Rodgers guy took over, and they've had a modicum of success. Now, they've only been to one Super Bowl, right? Yeah, they beat the Steelers. And by the way, I think we'll go back to 2011.
It's
2010 season, 2011 Super Bowl. All of a sudden, it's like, well, that went fast.
They've lost a lot of NFC championship games. They've lost in the playoffs a whole bunch, obviously, because they haven't made the Super Bowl since. But I feel like they've lost in two or three NFC championship games.
Well, like I said,
games.
With Rodgers, it couldn't be to Dallas because Dallas hasn't been back.
No.
So they lost championship in 16. And 14. There you go.
I was right. I nailed it. Smart person. That's what they say about me.
So that would have been a loss in 14 to Seattle.
Yes.
And then 16, Atlanta.
Yes.
At Atlanta.
And that's when the playoffs ended in 2016 for that season. Yep. That's all the good stuff that happened then.
Boy, that was a memorable day for the Fail Clowns. No question about it. I got the stats in front of me. Jeez.
Oh, Julio
Matty
Jones.
Ice.
Julio Jones was a monster. He took a slant pass like 75 yards for a touchdown. He ran through literally the entire secondary. He burned the corner that he started with. He took down the free safety on his stiff arm, sprinted down the field past another corner, and then stiff-armed the other safety as he ran into the end zone, and then he did the DeAnthony break the tape at the goal line. Oh, it was phenomenal.
Nice.
I just remember screaming.
Matty Ice, 27 to 38, 392, 4, no sacks, no picks. Me and Julio down by the end zone, 90 for 180 and 2, including a 73-yard catch and run.
Sorry.
I'm giving it
to
you.
Yeah.
See, in years, you got to be within one. Plays, I'm giving you three. You got to be within 3 yards.
Oh, that was the same year. I think it was the same season, 2016. It might have been 2015. Julio went for 300 against the Panthers, and that was the year that he took a 75-yarder to the house as well. I think that was the touchdown in the play that got him to 300 yards, which was also incredible.
300 receiving yards it's a lot. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So one of my other favorite highly intellectual pastimes, although I don't agree with what LeBron said. I kind of thought he... in essence, LeBron James was the free agent who said it's not about the money and then went to the worst franchise for the most money by saying Daryl Morey wasn't thinking, and you don't know what exercising freedom of speech, the residual damage it can do. And it's like, oh God, did LeBron, you really? You're like the philanthropist. You're building schools. You're actually making the world a better place. I don't know whoever said the old saying originally of sitting in silence and being thought a fool as opposed to open up your yap and removing all doubt. But so some of the folks in Hong Kong took to burning LeBron James jerseys. You're burning money. Seriously, folks, you're burning money. And by the way, we're huge in Hong Kong, so I know of what I speak. And what's the, as sports fans in recent memory, what has been the most recognizable? I mean, was Kaepernick get his jersey burned? LeBron, maybe when he left Cleveland for Miami, people were really pissed. I'm just trying to think, because that's when you're like, look, 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 my emotions are going to rule my brain. I know I'm an idiot. I know I spent $90 on this jersey, but I'm mad. So here's the gasoline here, or vodka or whatever ignites it.
I think it might have happened with Bryce Harper a little bit, although I think most national fans were just kind of happy to see him go, even though he won him an MVP and he had, or he won himself an MVP while he played for the Nationals, and then he won the Home Run Derby title, which is the only two things that he's ever won as a National. It might have happened with Antonio Brown, the way he left the Steelers, kind of forcing his way out. I feel like
were they burning jerseys?
I don't remember if they. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple videos got out of Antonio Brown jerseys being burned, because I could see that happening. People are crazy enough to do that. Nobody in the NHL is mad enough to do that. They just say sorry and move on. It's like it's mostly just the NBA. Like, the players become so marketable, and like the NBA does such a good job of marketing people to the point where also like financial implications come into play, and then it's like, you have to leave now because we can't afford to pay you and 11 other people, so you have to go, and then jerseys get burned.
So, by the way, I like the article on ESPN. Protesters trample and burn LeBron James jerseys in Hong Kong. And the article said, so there's a web designer who runs a fan page on Facebook in Hong Kong. He said, people are angry, and he got a video from a protester showing him burning a 23 jersey. And the quote is, so we do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that could happen. Comment about being spiritually harmed by someone else's speech, it's like, what spirit is that? Spirit of 76? Spirit of the night? Wine and spirits on sale at Fred Meyer's? And then the bottom line is that he comes off, there's no way around looking at an athlete with the financial ramifications that are more than implied here and thinking, yeah, you seem like you're more concerned about money than people. Sorry. And I'm not even saying you are, but it seems like that, Lebo Jimmy. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Oh, look, the Yankee get a base hit and a man on second. So the next guy up, based on what Cole has done to them, is it going to be a strikeout? Is it going to be a nubber back to the mound or a lazy fly ball to center field?
First pitch out.
First pitch out. All right. Man on second, 2-1. And I want to remind you, Duck Talk Live returns Friday from the IHOP at Gateway, courtesy of Bi-Mart. Our guest is going to be Brent Haberle, linebacker, I believe, his last year with the Ducks was 06, from Cottage Grove. And had the memorable scoop and score for a touchdown at Arizona that in 2005, that 10-win team whose lone blemish prior to the Holiday Bowl was against that magnificent USC team. So we look forward to that. You can come on down, get free pancakes, just enjoy the tradition of the great IHOP breakfasts. And it's brought to you by Bi-Mart, and it's on 96.1 KZL from 8 to 9. So we look forward to that. It's Husky Week. All right, we'll take a break, come back, have an update, and more Crunch Time, 95.3, The Score.
Crunch Time on 95.3, The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family-owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
It's almost like college football. You either confirm or overturn that flag. That's how college football handles targeting. If they throw that flag for Trey Flowers last night, hands to the face, someone in the booth immediately can go, I can confirm that or overturn that right now. It's timeless. You don't have to waste time on it. But we can't consistently go, hey guys, we're sorry, we were wrong.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN on the officiating last night. Oh, it's so funny. Welcome back to Crunch Time, 95.3 The Score. Two aboard, bottom of the fifth. Didi Gregorius against Garrett Culp. High drive, right field. Reddick to the warning track, to the wall. Caught it. He hit that one a mile in the air, and from here in near Valley River Center, my hopes were up, they were up, they were dashed. So Cole, now five complete, and we go to the top of the sixth with the Houstons, courtesy of a Jose Altuve first inning jack, and a Josh Reddick second inning upper deck opposite field blast. With a 2-0 lead. I'll make it. I'll be okay. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We'll have What Are You Doing to Rep this hour. We'll have Steve Mims of the Register Guard at the bottom of the 4 o'clock hour. He undertook a really neat project. The anniversary is coming up of the pick, and it's a 25th anniversary. And there's that iconic photograph of the Oregon sideline and athletic directors and broadcasters and fans. And Mimsy went back and tracked down some of the people in the photograph. And he's going to have an awesome celebratory piece coming out. We'll talk about that. Plus, you know, the Duck football team, and since he's the lead beat guy, how about some Oregon basketball as well, coming up at 4:30. How about them refs? Seriously, though, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Text 3210824. Tweet at 953, The Score for the station, for the show. It's at Sports Talk 953. For Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. I love the, I can't watch it anymore. I'm not watching it anymore. All right. Have we just turned? There used to be a phrase that came out. I remember it in the 80s becoming a thing. Ugh. First of all, it used to be, she's such a drama queen. And then it just became, you know, the chromosome no longer mattered. Just like, jeez, what a drama queen. Now everybody is. Everything's hysterics. There's referee, penalties. I'm not watching the NFL anymore. That's it. That's it.
Yes.
It's just... And I say this often when people text or tweet and just... Nobody cares. That always happens. That never happens. Yeah, it's never that dramatic. And of course, when people say nobody cares about the NHL, nobody cares about this, it's like, say you mean you and your four idiot friends don't. I mean, you know, especially, you know, if we were in a different place, I could see it. But It's a major college town. It's a melting pot. People come here from every corner of the country with their own loyalties, likes, dislikes. And either way, you know, the refs, done with the NFL. When was it? Somebody, and I love people who make observations that have been there for a while. We're going back years, and I think it's Bud Light. So there's somebody who went to Autzen called us on a Monday, and it was when I was working over at the other joint. Upset. When did Oregon start displaying beer signs? And it's like, forever ago? It's like somebody who just never paid attention, and all of a sudden, like, when the hell did the American League start using the designated hitter? I'm out. I'm not watching. It's like, dude, you can't grandfather in hysterics.
Wish I had stopped watching decades ago.
Exactly.
They started wearing helmets and the game changed.
Yeah, this Roger Bresnahan fella put on catcher's gear, and it hasn't been the same since.
I don't get it. They're not walking to games anymore, and they're playing them under these artificial
crazy
lights.
Crazy lights and night baseball.
Play it under the sun as God himself intended.
It's like, good God, take a Valium. Chase it with Jack Daniels on the rocks. Just relax. And yeah, it's a bit frustrating. But the officials did not bog down the damned Detroit offense.
Whoa, see ya.
And made them settle for 5 field goals.
Oh, no way.
Yes, way. By the way, if they show the one before that, the lefty, that looked even more gone. So instead, it's a couple of long outs. And so Houston 2, Yankees coming to bat in the bottom of the 6th. So last night, the Detroit offense had a 66-yard play. They bogged down in the Packer red zone. Remember, Stafford fumbled, not the refs. They threw short of the chains on 3rd and 15. And then the Packers jump off sides to give them a break. Then there was an incompletion, also not on the refs. Then field goal 2. Then the Packers fumbled a punt, put the Lions in business at their 25, the Green Bay 25. They gained 2 yards and kicked a field goal. The refs responsible for that. Then at 16-13, they drive to the Packer 38, run incomplete, and they pass again short of the sticks. And Prater, by the way, Prater's like money from inside 60. No penalties on the series. 4th field goal. Refs have anything to do with that? Then the interception. Remember, what was it, about 3rd and 7 from like the 12? And who is that? Shepard runs a perfect out pattern. The ball's right on the money and he falls on his ass. And it hits him in the face. And it bounced up perfectly to Justin Coleman, who returns it all the way to the Green Bay 43. Referees impact that play for Detroit as well. They can't convert on 2nd and 3rd and 2. And Prater, by the way, bombs through another. So for all the complaining, we know the refs suck. 5 field goals. They didn't lose the game. The officials did not lose the game for the Lions. And by the way, they haven't won in like 61 years. The audacity to even look in the direction of the officials. They've ruined our life for 6 decades. The minute Ike left office, we were screwed. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going great, Steve. How are you?
All right, what's up?
Well, I was just calling about the Detroit-Green Bay game, and I'm not a fan of either team. But I do want to say that the hands to the face call, not on the last drive, but on the previous one, which would have been a 4th and 20-something, did change the complexion of the game completely.
Yeah, but that's one play. They ran 140.
I understand that.
Obviously not.
The flag after the play was over, after Rodgers was on the ground.
No, it's a garbage call. But if they had rectified one of 17 problems they had leading up to that, it's not in the hands of the officials.
I agree with you on those points. But if that call would have been made correctly, that probably would have been the difference in the game. They went on to score a touchdown a couple of plays later.
I know. I understand that. But if one of those five field goals turns into a touchdown, if they're better offensively, it doesn't come down to that.
Well, I hear what you're saying on that, Steve, but you can't say that that call especially did not change the outlook of the game. I mean, they wouldn't have been down three. They would have got the ball back down nine with, say, I don't know, 4 minutes left in the game, five. They probably wouldn't have had much of a chance to pull it out.
No, I understand. But like I said, when they lost by a point, and there were multiple times not converting, interceptions, Stafford's fumble, not converting third and two, not converting second and two. It's like Detroit had so many opportunities to put that thing on ice, and they left the door open.
That's true. I actually texted my buddy during the game and said, hey, Detroit's giving Green Bay an opportunity to stay alive here, and I just don't feel good about it.
But, and by the way, I'm not a fan of either team. I mean, I if pressed, I probably root for Green Bay over Detroit, but I'd be over it fast.
Well, there's 50 years of Detroit futility in there, and I get that, but I just wanted to say that particular call, the first hands-to-the-face call, was the more egregious call because it just changed the opportunity for Green Bay to come back.
Right, and it wasn't even a penalty.
It cost them the game.
No, the joke is it wasn't even a penalty.
Exactly.
All right, take it easy. 124 snaps in that game. Detroit had so many opportunities. They settled for five field goals. They were given opportunities again and 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 again.
Well, it's another case of one singular game coming down to one singular penalty call, and everyone agrees that the NFL officials are horrible, but really the NFL officials all across the league have been garbage this year.
Right.
Pat McAfee was talking about it on Monday. All of the good head officials that talk to their officiating crew and would be able to, you know, coach their crew through the week, through the game or whatever, all of those guys got plucked by TV so that they can get these cushy TV jobs to explain the rule book to people, which I don't really think is all that hard to explain because the generality of football is really simple. 2 feet inbounds for a catch for the most part. Don't do this with your hands. Don't do that with your hands kind of thing. We don't really need all of our best officials to be TV people, but there were a bunch of bad missed calls in a Seattle-Cleveland game. There were three or four really bad calls in the Atlanta-Arizona game, and you know those were just a couple of them. There was, I think, in the Jets-Cowboys game, the Cowboys had penalties on four straight plays that pushed them down the field as they were going for, you know, a game-tying score. It's just there's too many penalties being called, and they're way too subjective of penalties that when you see him in slow motion, you're seeing, oh, that's not a penalty because the guy making the call is 25, 35 feet away and the game is moving lightning fast and they can't make the calls. And the NFL will not lean in any sort of way to have technology help out their officials. And even what they do with defensive pat and pass interference, they're just staying pat because the NFL is trying to say, no, our officials are fine. We don't need to fix anything.
And in closing, I will say this. So if the winning team never complains about the refs, so blaming the refs is for, yeah, losers. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's a Tuesday. It's the end of crunch time, which means this.
What are you doing?
Is next. 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Now you have LeBron saying, sometimes you have to think about what it means from a business standpoint. Why? Because it's not your cause? See, we're presuming that Daryl Morey didn't know and that he didn't think about the business ramifications. What if Daryl Morey does know, is so passionate that he thinks, you know what? I don't care about the business ramifications. I care about changing the world.
Jason Fitz, ESPN, first and last on LeBron Kong. Oh, I just made that up. as we welcome you back to Crunch Time 95.3 The Score. It's that time on a Tuesday. We wrap Crunch Time with an abundance of questions that warrant examination. It's a case of wondering aloud as people in sports make you shake your head. It's called What Are You Doing? And this time, I lead off.
You go, Steve.
Kind of pains me, but to LeBron James, I ask.
What are you doing?
I get it's wise to be all-encompassing. He builds schools. He's involved in philanthropic endeavors that are magnificent. His response to this China syndrome the NBA is facing right now is just off. It all stems from that October 4th tweet in support of Hong Kong protesters from the Rockets front office man Daryl Morey. But James takes that ramifications from freedom of speech and come off like you're only thinking about yourself, as he is obviously thinking about himself and his impact on this impact on his finances. And then he talks about people who might be harmed financially, duh, emotionally and spiritually. What about the harm done by the treacherous Xi regime in China, who, you know, snuff out protesters, make dissenters disappear? Remember when some people were turned off when Michael Jordan said, hey, Republicans wear sneakers too, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To whoever is in charge of the music with the San Diego, Los Angeles Carson Chargers, I ask.
What are you doing?
I mean, it's bad enough that Dean Spanos was such a greedy bastard that he jumped on moving San Diego Chargers to LA, a city that has no association with the team, and a city where people don't support the team or even live and travel down to San Diego to see the team, and then he put them in a soccer stadium, the smallest in the NFL, and because there's no fans in this city, and the fans that decided to support the team won't travel to Carson, California, well, the road fans will, and that's why it might have looked and sounded like a home game for the Steelers if you were watching on TV, but if you were actually at the stadium, it sounded like a Steelers home game too, because it turns out the Steelers have an anthem, as weird as it is for a professional sports team to have an anthem, or maybe not an anthem, but some sort of ritual where they always play the same song, it sticks Renegade before kickoffs. The Chargers played it, and then they tried to turn it into a little bit of a Rick Roll thing, but it's during a Chargers home game, really? I mean, What? Even in 2019, you're going with the Rick Roll joke here? Like, this doesn't work because the Chargers were losing at home with 25,000 Steeler fans going crazy. What is the point? The Chargers players were even mad, and they still won't talk about how crazy their own fans are showing up because Dean Spanos doesn't care about the own team that he owns, and clearly the people playing music during their games don't care either, as I ask.
What are you doing?
San Diego fans are notorious for that crap. To the NFL refs last night in Packers versus Lions, I ask.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I get it's part of a season-long horror show. These goofballs can't keep the laundry off the playing surface. Holding calls seem to be leading the charge and penalties on the rise. And I could deal with bad calls. Heck, with replay if the ball is dropped or fumbled or a player's ruled inbounds or juggling or his forearm is touching, we get to review it and see it from a thousand angles. But could we do without the make? And we could also do without makeup calls. And how about made-up calls? Because like you see, when an awful interference call against the defense is countered with a makeup holding call, but the hands to the face penalty on Trey Flowers, it was a fabrication. It didn't happen at any angle. So refs, be bad. Be unprofessional. Be incompetent. We have remedies for that. Don't invent calls that don't exist, as we ask.
What are you doing?
Be bad, but be creatively, realistically bad. Interesting. To the Dallas Stars, I ask.
What are you doing?
We all know the cliche or adage or whatever, practice how you play. Go 110% in practice and all that. And it's important to take practices seriously because you can get yourself out of a rut, break out the rust, figure out kinds of chemistry on different line combinations, whatever. Practicing is important. To the Dallas Stars, however, practice has not been important as it should have been. Through 7 games, the Stars just have 3 points and 1 win. They've also had 1 practice. It's not like they don't have enough time to practice either. They've only had one set of back-to-backs. They've had plenty of off days to throw in a light practice, shoot around something, and they need to do a little something. But after losing 4-0 yesterday, head coach Jim Montgomery decided to cancel the practice that they had today. It would have been their second of the season. Now, Dallas has been on quite a grind. They've literally played every other day from the 6th, and they'll continue through the 21st of October, nine games in 15 days, four of them in a row on a road trip. So then maybe there hasn't been a lot of time to practice, but when you've got one win to start a season, something has to change. Throw in a practice. Maybe it'll work out and you'll get some points, as I ask.
What are you doing?
To everyone locally up in arms over Marcus Mariota's status with the Titans, I ask.
What are you doing?
You guys do get that the Titans aren't the Ducks, right? You do realize the Ducks are not in the AFC South, right? You do realize that if the Titans won the next 8 Super Bowls and Marcus was the MVP in all 8, it would have no impact on the Ducks, right? And you do realize that if he retired and became a 5th grade social study teacher in Honolulu, it would not detract from the season Oregon football's having right now, right? So before you blindly defend a situation you probably don't know that much about or get angry because the team you followed so closely during your childhood, all those November days tailgating outside, yeah, for $20, where do the Titans even play their home games? So I get it. Mariota was special, an eternal place in the hearts of many Duck fans. He's in the NFL now. Go easy. Get over it. You're not Titans fans, as I ask.
What are you doing?
All right, I want to remind you with the Husky game coming up, opportunity to play Oregon Community Credit Union's Predict a Score. And each week you've got some different loot on the line. And this one is going to be, if you win, first you got to go to our website, 953thescore.com. You'll get a prepaid Visa gift card courtesy of Oregon Community Credit Union, a Duck t-shirt, a hat, Duck water bottles, and 4 VIP tailgater passes. We've got a VIP tailgate party that happens every home game 2 hours before. So what is it? Washington State's going to start at 7:30. Yeesh. So 5:30 to 7:30, you could find our tailgater hangout. But as far as the Oregon Community Credit Union Predict a Score, it's sponsored by the OCCU and the Duck Card. Get 5 points per dollar when you use your Duck Card to buy Duck tickets and merchandise. Learn more at myoccu.org/ducks. And you can catch it on our website, 953thescore.com. All right, so looking ahead to the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to be a basket case. It's first and third, nobody out for Houston. And I guess Britain is going to have to get a comebacker, catch the runner leaning, and then a double play to get out of the inning. Either way, the 4 o'clock hour is next, 95-3 the score.
Good luck in prison.